Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome to a Monday edition of the Three Beards EPL Soccer Podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, with your slightly irritated host, Ken Lee.
I'm not irritated, I'm fine.
The amount of swear words you just directed at the two of us in the last, like, 2 minutes before this thing started. I get it, dude. I get it, all right? Arsenal is not challenging for a title, but don't worry about it.
Nobody else is either,
so you need to calm down, Ken. And I'm here with Ken, and behind the glass is Tyler, as always. Tyler, how are we doing today?
We're doing great, and I wanted to share this with the listeners at home. Jesus, I don't know how many people know this, but, something that connects all three of us is the fact that we all became good friends inside the cell phone industry when we were working for one of the major carriers, who we won't name. Mm-hmm. And so we all have an appreciation of cell phone technology, and our new thing that we upload the podcast to and track our analytics anonymously lets us know where our hits come from. And within the last 2 weeks, we have had two people listen to us using a Windows phone, which is amazing to me because I don't think one has been sold in like 2 years.
So it's safe to know that you know who you are.
Yeah. Whoever. So I just want to thank you. We don't know anything else about you besides the fact that you use a Windows phone, but good for you and good job persevering. And I hope you have a use case why you need that Windows phone, because nobody else seems to.
Probably connecting all those devices, Tyler. You know what we need? We need a hit from an Amazon phone. You remember this phone?
Oh, yeah. The 3D one.
Yes, the Amazon phone that came out for like a week.
The Prime.
We appreciate all of it. I have to ask you guys.
And a Palm Pre. There we go. And then we'd hit everything.
I thought you really had that. Like there was a Palm Pre on there. I was like, no way. We appreciate all the listeners from everywhere. We have a lot of international listeners now, which we really appreciate. Throughout Europe and Asia, we had Singapore, we added on there too. It's good to hear from you guys. You can shoot us an email, or you can check our website out that has our Twitter on it at threebeardspodcast.com. That's it, right, Tyler? That's it? I got it right?
You did. Yes, you did.
Sweet. I gotta ask you guys, how are we doing on Christmas? Ken, are you guys done? Are you done shopping?
I leave, admittedly, most of the shopping is down to Megan, so I would have to infer with her as to where we were, but I think that we gotta be close, because it's only a week away, so we have to be close.
Okay, and Tyler, do you want anything? Ken, do you want anything for Christmas? Did you ask for anything for Christmas?
I try to keep it secretive. Like, no, I don't really ask for anything, so, but I always get something cool, because, Megan, she always gets me something cool, and Megan's family always, it turns out, obviously, but, I never ask for something, but I always get something really awesome that, I wasn't expecting to.
And Tom, I'll just say that I do holiday shopping.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
You are an idiot.
Yeah, I do winter gift exchanges.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Tyler.
Can we kick him off of here?
I don't know. Ever since he went vegan, he's a mess, man.
Yeah, ever since he went vegan, like the supposed vegan diet, he's like turned into like this vegan. I don't do anything Christmas. It's all holiday.
Yeah, well, it's Tyler. It's fine.
Just mute him.
He muted himself. It's fine.
Yeah, he muted himself. Thank God.
I have to say the problem this year. I know your kids are like 2 years younger than mine. I have 6 and 3. The problem this year, Ken, is we ordered everything on Amazon, and we did a really good job. My wife did a really good job of like starting to order in October and November, so the gifts kept coming in.
You ordered Christmas gifts in October? Holy cow!
She
did. Bad prepared.
She is really, really good with Christmas. Like, she has all the ornaments out. We got the elf on the shelf and all that kind of stuff. You guys do elf on the shelf?
Oh, you do elf on the shelf. Me and my wife were questioning it, but we did not do that this
year. Don't do it until you have to. Tyler, do you do elf on the shelf?
Maybe next year.
Yes. Yeah, we do.
I think it would work because my kid's 2.5, and like if we tell him Santa Claus is watching, he kind of straightens up.
See, it becomes such a chore, though. Like, every night, my wife and I look at each other before bed, and we're like, ah, do we move the elf? Do we leave a new note? Because we do a note.
Oh, my God. We got a Grinch over here. We got a Grinch, Tom.
It's a lot. See, you got to set expectations, Tyler. It's like anything else, you know? Like, sometimes our elf doesn't move. I'm not going to lie to you. And then we just, you know, it's just, oh, I guess she didn't move last night, didn't have anything to report. Like, we've gone through that already, Tyler. But in general, I try to remember, like, once I put the dog down to sleep, I usually do something with it, and it's usually the same three or four things. I'm not going to lie. If you go all out, like, I have some friends that do full setups and, like, hijackings and, like, really silly stuff, and then with notes, like, you really set an expectation for years to
do
that.
Oh, I've seen the websites, you know, like, don't do that. Shelf does this and that and everything else. Like, that seems a little bit extravagant.
That.
It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, don't do that. But yeah, we started this year. We got all our Christmas stuff.
Have your kids seen Santa yet?
You know what? We usually go to a local farm to do it, and we didn't do it this year. And the kids, thankfully, haven't really said anything, but I refuse to go to the mall. We went for like 3 years. I'm not doing the mall.
We did like a brunch with Santa, and he's seen Santa a couple times, like in passing, but we haven't done the actual, you know, wait in line to do the picture yet. But I'm sure we will this week.
Yeah, we'll see him. He rides around on a fire truck through our neighborhood.
Oh, he already came through our neighborhood.
Did he? Ours truck, is yeah. Christmas Eve at like 6 p.m. And you go out and he waves at everybody and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
we'll see
cool.
him then. We didn't do any of that other stuff. But the problem this year is we ordered everything on Amazon. And my six-year-old, she's a clever little critter. And she started opening the boxes as soon as they came
what?
In.
What?
Yeah, she does that kind of stuff. We're talking about a kid here, Ken, that we had to flip the doorknob around in her room because she has beaten every child safety lock. We tried four different child safety locks on her doorknob, and in the end, she wrenched one off with a screwdriver when she was 2.5 years old.
I put the child safety lock on the inside of the bedroom, too.
Yeah.
Is there
we
a
just
problem
flipped
with
the
that?
Door.
Is that a problem?
No. I'm saying we flipped the doorknob completely so it locks from the outside. That's what we had to do.
No, I haven't done that yet. No.
Yes, because she figured out how to get through every single kind of child safety lock we have. But anyway, so
right,
we
now that we spent 7 minutes on child-proofing your house. Are we going to do a show or what?
It's been tough, Ken, but it's going to be a fun Christmas. We're excited for it, and I hope everybody else has a good holiday, too. Speaking of the holidays, Ken, you know who is not getting any Christmas presents this year? Conte.
Jose Mourinho.
Conte.
I would Conte. Say, like, let's start out right now with, if you're going to continue to give Conte so much, you know, guff about seemingly not wanting to be at Chelsea, I think it's high time we start giving the same type of criticism to Mourinho, because he looks like the same as Conte. He doesn't want to be at Man United. But I think he's admittedly said it's because he's older now and more mature that he doesn't
grumpy,
celebrate.
Man.
He's the grumpiest man on the planet.
He's grumpy. We'll start with the midweek games. We'll actually start with United since that's where we're going. United gets two wins this week. Manchester United 1, Bournemouth 0.
Yeah,
gross
lucky.
Game. Gross game, Ken. A header by Lukaku, who does not celebrate. And they're starting to make that into a sub-story here as he scores.
Well,
and
they should.
I can't figure it out. Someone tried to say it was because he got so much criticism over the last few weeks.
Well,
he had
a
stretch where he scored one goal in 10 games that's in second place.
You got paid how much money to go to Man United, and you're getting paid how much per week,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to show the slightest bit of happiness when you score a goal? I feel like if I was a Man United fan, the last thing I would want to see is my center forward, much less my center forward paired with my manager not being excited at all that they score a goal. Like, that kind of pissed me off. And, yeah, outside looking in, I kind of like it because maybe he's just doing it because, you know, that's what he's there to do. And he has no kind of interest into the club at all. And if he wants to be a baby about how much criticism he's getting, well, maybe next time don't demand such high wages and such a high transfer fee. Because that it kind of coincides. If you demand a high transfer fee and a high wage, results are going to be demanded.
Yeah, he scores in both the games.
He's an idiot, though.
Scores on Wednesday against Bournemouth to win 1-0, and then he scores again in the West Brom game on Sunday as United win 2-1. Lingard with the game winner.
Yeah, but don't you think that, like, since we give such big problems to Conte and Morata, that Mao and Lukaku have to be on the same, they have to be on the same level as those two. Like, they're just miserable figures within the league, within their clubs.
The only difference, I completely agree that they deserve a ton of guff, and I'm actually, like, as a United fan, seeing Jose not celebrate ever, like, even when we're winning cups and stuff,
it's
he's not
that
smiling.
He's not celebrating ever. It's almost like smile. He's not celebrating when Lukaku scores. Like, he's still pissed at him for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess they could be keeping something in-house, but Jose doesn't play players that he's upset with. I'm sure you heard Mkhitaryan apparently had a bust up with him, and Mkhitaryan hasn't been in the match squad in like 7 games. Not that he was playing well, he was completely anonymous, but you know, I don't think Jose would keep a player in the lineup that was not doing what he asked him to do or he had a genuine issue with.
Sure, maybe. I mean, I don't know, but like he sat there as if they got a goal scored on them.
Yeah, but he's...
When Lukaku scored the goal at the midweek and at the weekend.
He's been doing that since he got to United. In the beginning, I was like, oh, he's doing that because the team isn't where he wants them to be, and he wants to show them, like, we're still not where we need to be. I mean, we finished in sixth last year.
Well, I think it's to say almost that he won't admit it verbally, but he's almost like, okay, our job is to secure a second, and, you know, is that good enough? Openly, of course, because everyone that's watching sees what City's doing. But when it comes to the meetings he's having with the owners of the board, you know, it's not good enough. Because you should be able to be keeping pace with City because you're United. And we spent a lot of money to be United. Bring you in, bring a striker in, bring some reinforcements in. I think there's a little bit more at play than what we're... Or maybe what you're, as a Man United fan, willing to admit.
It definitely could be. I feel like since the beginning and with every club that Mourinho's ever had, there's always been that kind of dark cloud that follows him around. Like, even when he wins the titles, you don't get any kind of, like, genuine joy. He doesn't have genuine joy when he wins a title. Instead, when he wins a title, he takes shots at everybody else. Like, when Chelsea won their last title, his shot that he took at everybody else, because the criticism was they didn't score enough goals, they just barely win, and they have a great defense. Well, he said, you know, everybody else plays one way or the other. They play to score all the goals, or to let up no goals, or to just play the ball in the middle. But we play to score more goals and let up less goals than everybody else. That's what we do.
Well,
and that was his response.
Like that.
But, I mean, I've never heard a manager come out afterwards and be like, basically tell everybody to go F themselves instead of being like, you know, yeah, we won, my players won, we won, like really positive. You don't have to do that, but Mourinho always has to do that. Always.
Well, I think that Mourinho's always trying to make up for something that he is lacking. Like, and it's seemingly just mentally that he's lacking something, because it's not that his squads lack anything. He's got depth. He's got the stars to play. I mean, yeah, he's dealing with injuries and he's dealing with
so is everybody
suspensions,
else.
But so is everyone else.
So is everybody else, like, absolutely.
Just because you've become this like genius of not answering questions in the media doesn't make you some kind of like god amongst managers, to where you're just we can just absolve you from any type of accountability for not doing your job, which is not keeping up with City at this point. Like, you can say whatever you want about City. Like, yeah, they bought a team and Pep is whatever. What are they calling him now? A paycheck manager? Like, that's the newest term to come out. But at the end of the day, when you spend £200 million and you are winning a league, like, decisively winning a league, nobody cares. I don't care, and I'm not even a fan of City. It was worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll move to City now, just not to spend too much time on United. But moving to City,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, I agree to an extent. I mean, a lot of teams have spent a lot of money, and yes, City has spent more than anyone else to get specific types of players.
But who cares?
But everybody else is spending a ton of money too. That was my point before. Like, Everton spent like 150. You know what I mean? Like,
is it the rest of the league's problem that Everton spent £150 million on players that don't matter and that absolutely suck?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of absolutely sucking, Ken, Manchester City runs over Swansea City. Was there anybody that thought for a second that Swansea City would be the team to break this ridiculous City run-up?
Any team is going to do it, but It I wasn't going to be Swansea. You're just like, you're crossing your fingers, you're praying to whatever god you pray to, and, you know, it's just, you just know it's never going to happen. Swansea, I mean, you saw it the weekend, they couldn't even beat Everton. And Everton, I mean, for whatever it's worth, is in form as of late in terms
My
of
friend,
Everton.
They are in form.
But, I mean, hoping Swansea does anything, I mean, I think just seeing 11 players show up in a Swansea uniform is about all you can hope for at this point. They're the new Crystal Palace.
Ken, Crystal Palace is on fire right now. Don't you?
I wouldn't
Palace
say they're on fire, but you know they are actually they're playing to their ability now, which is which is very much so not a team that should be in the relegation discussion.
Yeah, I mean, City rolls over Swansea, no problem. But then they go into the weekend at home against Tottenham. And, Ken, they smack Tottenham around. And Tottenham should have finished this game with 9 men.
Yes, they definitely should have. And so you're on the opinion that Kane and Ali both should have been sent off.
That's correct.
I think this will be the first time of this season of this podcast that we're going to agree completely. Because when it comes to your team, United, you're basically a martyr for any type of excuse ever to be thrown out for Man United being wronged when they just absolutely sucked. But Tottenham, not only are they lucky that the game only ended 4-1, they're lucky that it ended 4-1 with 11 men, because those were absolutely terrible tackles.
Yeah, I was Both shocked by Harry them. Kane's especially. That's not something he normally does, but that was a horrific play by Harry Kane. He went in, studs up.
It wasn't
up.
Even a striker's tackle. It was just studs up, aggressive, and like doing nothing but wanting to hurt a player.
Yeah, it almost seemed to me, Ken, that they were so frustrated that they were getting worked. But I think the game was 1-0. Yeah, the game was 1-0, and I think Tottenham is starting to struggle a little bit. Dele Alli, his tackle was one of the clearest red cards I've seen this season, Ken. And both these players pick up yellows,
well,
so there's no retroactive action.
To me, it
action.
Wasn't as clear as Kane's, except for the fact that the referee had his back turned. But Kane's was more of a red card than Ali's. But they were both, to me, 100% red cards. And can you imagine, like, Man City went on to win 4-1, 11-11. Could you imagine what that scoreline would have been, 11-9?
Yeah, I mean, Man City scores first in the 14th minute on a corner kick. I mean, can they have small players? That shouldn't happen. Tottenham caught in a zone defense, which I hate. Zone defense, and a guy who's about 5'8 scores a diving header on them in the exact center of the box. Please stop using zone defense. It doesn't work.
I said it a couple
doesn't
weeks
work.
Ago. You can continue to say that all you want, but the lion's share of teams in the league play zonal defense on corners, and for that matter, all set pieces going in. So,
Ken,
I mean, that's just the way that this is a new way of defense. Like,
I need
to be mad about it. Or you
I am mad. I am mad. I'm sore about it. And the thing that I don't get, Ken, is, you know, I know that Klopp listens. I know that Jose listens. I know Pep sometimes listens, but he's got other things to do, like win every game
for
ever.
Whatever it's worth, Pep Guardiola has basically, he's turned the naysayers into, which I think that me and you were 100% naysayers of him. If you're not a believer of Manchester City and Pep Guardiola at this point, you're just a hater. Like, they
I'm
are
a hater.
Gonna, they are going to go on, and they are going to win this league by a mountain of points.
Can I do both? Can I say that I think that Pep has done an amazing job in taking the resources and taking the players that he wanted and working them into his system exactly the way he wanted to?
Would,
and how many times have we seen that fail? Koeman had the same
time,
chance this weekend.
Every single time.
Yep.
Every single time. Koeman thought, and let's go to your point of Koeman, he thought that he would be able to push his mindset onto the league.
Exactly.
And he's fired now. He watches the games from the same place that we watch, which is unpaid and from your couch. That's where he watches the games from. Pep Guardiola came in and said, against anyone else, all of the experts that said, never will you be able to just score goals in the Premier League and win the league. He said, you're wrong, and I will be able to do that, and you can watch me. And fire me, basically, if I'm wrong, but fire me after I spend £200 million amassing a club that's going to do what I want to do. And now they are 14 points ahead with no sign of slowing down. They are the best team in the world. quite possibly the best team ever placed on a pitch in any single country in the world at any time. And I hate Manchester City. I hate Pep Guardiola. I hate everyone that wears that crazy color blue. But they are the best team in the world. And they may be the best team ever that I've ever seen play. They're doing it easily, Tom.
Okay, but
easily doing it. No one's ever done it the way they've done it.
Through a single season.
But no one has ever done it that way. And I do think that they're going to lose games. And I think they're going to lose a meaningful amount of games. But that's going to be based down to form. But I think at the end of the day, they're still going to win this league by double-digit points.
They are. De Bruyne breaks free on this one, cuts inside the box, gets pushed to the outside. Did you see how hard he hit that ball?
Yeah.
And then instead of dropping it across, smashes the ball through Hugo Lloris. And basically, I mean, he had a blip for a couple weeks where he didn't play especially well. Now he is back to being the best player.
Every player's going to be like that, but it's just a matter of how long it takes. And I'm willing to accept, if I'm a Manchester City fan and if I'm Pep Guardiola, for Kevin De Bruyne to be on for 9, off for 2, on for 9,
yeah, exactly.
Off for
2. So on,
you're gonna
too.
Win. And when he's on, he's on. And when he's off, he's just kind of off. Let's not speak too illy of him. He's only kind of off.
Well, Sterling scores 2 more consolation goals, I guess you could call him at that point, because Man City was rolling.
It was
Sterling
easy
scores
at that
point blank on a ball Sané puts back across, and then Tottenham gets a late. This is the only thing I can say about this goal from Eriksen in the 93rd minute was that it exposed Ederson a little bit in that he's not a great shot saver, but he's so good at facilitating Man City's play that it really doesn't make much of a difference.
I think he's more great at communicating where the defense should be lined up than he is as a great keeper, but that's all you need when you're playing on City. You don't need to be a good goalkeeper when you're on City, because it's very rare you're going to have a shot put up against you.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to do much, but if you remember, Bravo was so bad at stopping shots that it actually cost them. Well, he was all right at kicking the ball around, like facilitating play, but he's just, at one point, he was allowing 70% of shots to go in over a stretch of like 7 games. Ederson's better than that. I don't think he's on the level of Cech or Courtois or De Gea, but he's good enough to block most shots. And more importantly, for the way Pep plays at City, he can spread the ball around and get the counterattack going lightning quick, which allows them to keep constant pressure on other teams. Anyway, City rolls through another 2 games. They're at 16 unbeaten.
It's just a matter of which team beats them, because I think when they do suffer their first loss or draw, it will stutter into a meaningful period of times where they don't win a game. But it's just so far now. It doesn't matter. They're what, 11 points up from Man United. For all intents and purposes, they're just barely getting away with winning games right now.
Yeah. That's the way Jose wins, but yeah. I mean, it's such stark contrast to the way City is smashing teams. Even when they win by 1, they have constant pressure.
It's a very, very consistent win, and you're never, ever questioning when they go up 1-0, are they going to get scored on? You're never questioning that. The answer is no.
It's, are they going to score more?
Right. It's, are they going to win now by 2 or 3 or 4 or 10? Not if they're going to get scored on again before they score another one. It's not happening.
Well, the whole league is jealous right now of City's form. I'm jealous. I'm a hater just like you, Ken, but I absolutely give City props and Pep props.
Hater. Yeah.
And we'll just close out the City conversation by saying, yes, he has spent a ton of money, but there are plenty of managers who have spent a ton of money and done nothing with it.
Right, yeah,
nothing.
I don't care. Like, me as an Arsenal fan, I would love to see £200 million spent and being 11 points up at the league at this point, because then I don't care if you spend $1 billion. If you're going to win the league, it's worth it. Who cares?
Yeah, especially as an Arsenal fan.
It doesn't matter. Especially as an Arsenal fan, especially as a United fan, a Chelsea fan, who cares who it is? Nobody ever looks back and says, oh, yeah, they won the title because they spent $1 billion. Nobody cares. The only time they care, you know who will be talked about at the end of the season? Manchester City and Everton. They will be talked about. because of the exact stark contrast as to the money spent. It'll be how the hundreds used. Of millions yep. spent for City to win a title, and the hundreds of millions spent over the last couple of seasons for Everton to barely finish in the top 10. That is the difference, and those are the conversations that you will be having at the end of the year. And I would imagine, if you're a City fan, you will be laughing all the way to your parade for a title walk than you are as an Everton fan, barely finishing in the top 10, not even having Euro to contend to. It's ridiculous. Absolutely. It's ridiculous to say that, oh, Pep is winning the league because he spent so much money. Who cares? Who cares?
Well, speaking of haters and players and coaches who are talking about spending, Antonio Conte is getting frustrated at Chelsea. Everybody knew that in the offseason, that he was frustrated by the players that were being bought, even though they spent plenty of money, Ken.
Yeah, they spent money, too. Like,
but you know what he said today? He said, Van Dijk, the Southampton center back, can't go to City. He can't. That's what he said. He's like, no one can allow him, as if to say to Liverpool, hey, you guys have to buy them so City doesn't get this center back.
Well, if no one can buy him, why don't you offer over the odds to him and pay him double the wages?
Exactly.
Like, it's not hard to get a player in today's world. They're all money-hungry assholes. They just want money. Oh, if you want the player, pay him more than City's going to pay him. They don't care about going to win a title, and they can say that they do all they want, but the players that have moved, for all intents and purposes, their story tells a completely different ending. They don't care about winning titles. They don't care about professionalism. They care about the money. I guarantee you that Van Dijk would go to Arsenal if we offered him £400,000 a week.
He would. I disagree with you a little bit.
Of course he would.
I disagree with you a little bit when you're talking about sports in general, about millionaires, them losing their drive. I think a lot of these guys still have drive. I do. I watch Ronaldo.
But the drive is to make as much money as possible. And Ronaldo, you can only say that about Ronaldo and Messi because they already have enough money.
Yeah.
It's like movie stars that say, like, oh, I'll never do a big Hollywood movie now. But that's after they've made $100 million making big Hollywood movies. Now, all of a sudden, they're too good for that, and they want to make independent movies.
I don't know. Like that, you watch these guys. A bunch of BS. Maybe yeah. so, but, I mean, even the fights and stuff that break out in the tunnel, like, that, to me, those guys are all millionaires. That's why I liked it, is because it brought everything back to the simple game of soccer. They were so frustrated by the other team and so disrespected by the other team that they went and had a brawl in the middle. I mean, these guys are making millions of dollars.
But that's more ego than anything. That's more ego than anything else.
I think there's a lot of guys.
City would have been just as happy to walk into the locker room, dance up and down, and spray each other with champagne over beating a Manchester rival. But United got their ego bruised a little bit because it was being too loud, and it was at Old Trafford.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's more being disrespected than they feel like, you know, we're a professional athlete and we want to win titles more than you do. No, they don't.
I disagree with you there. I think there are a lot of guys who really do want to win titles, especially when they're on the field. And you watch the way Sanchez gets upset. I mean, he's making plenty of money. He'll make plenty of money going forward, Alexis Sanchez. But he's upset because his team isn't challenging for a title. He's not upset because he's not making money. You know?
Well, no, that's a little different. When you're on Arsenal, I do understand. When you have a great player like Sanchez or Ozil, they are going to be upset that the board is not showing any type of fight to win a title or any type of, like, when it comes into the market of buying players, they're not showing any type of will to want to spend the money to bring in a world-class player to win the title. I get that. But when you're on United, like, to say that you're on United right now and you did not expect to win a title, with the exception of Manchester City's phenomenal play, you're completely crazy, and you're trying to sell me a story that doesn't exist. Without City playing the way that they're playing right now, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Arsenal are all in fight for a title right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, United is right, but what pacing you have is, a little lower
but
than
what
second
you have
place,
is but. No, definitely not. I mean, City, even at their best, they would still have a couple of losses on a normal season.
Yeah, I agree.
This is a crazy, crazy season for them. And to say that the title would not be a complete title race for the top five right now, you're crazy.
Yeah,
you're,
I mean,
you're selling yourself a pipe dream, and you're selling yourself that your beloved United are some gods for being second right now, and you're being crazy, Thomas.
No, I don't think that. I think United's on pace for approximately 86 points, which would put them in second almost every single year. So they are playing like a second place team. It's just City.
Right.
City's
but
on
what
pace
I'm saying
for about
is there
100.
Would be more of a title race.
Yeah.
There would be more of a title race if it wasn't for City's phenomenal play right now.
Yeah, I mean, our argument was about whether or not athletes that are paid as millionaires still have the fight and heart.
I think a lot of them.
I absolutely think almost all of them do.
Don't.
I really do.
I think, a lot of them don't, though.
I think some of the guys that end up on teams that have no chance, like you look at the NFL, like playing on the Browns, I think some of those guys have to go into a professional mode because they lose so much that they can't handle the NFL, though.
Like, I can't even argue.
Okay, well, then we'll say Swansea. Like, those guys, I mean, actually in the Prem, those guys that are in the bottom there, they have to play hard because almost all of them on those teams have relegation clauses where if you get relegated, your salary drops 25%.
Right, yeah.
So, it gets back to your money point.
It's almost argumentative that the fact that those players have more to lose than the players that, you know, are just going to finish second, third, fourth, or fifth because they're still going to make their fat contracts where the players that finish in the bottom, like, 15th to 20th are not because they have some type of clause in them based on where they finish in the table, where the top four or five don't.
Yeah, I mean, you could always look at that side of the sport. I like to look at the positive side and try to see as much of the soccer side as I can, but you're right. I know it is delusional to a certain degree to think that all these guys – you know, they don't sleep well when they don't win. But sure, I mean, you sleep well in your $50,000 bed.
It's got to be easier to sleep than it is for me and you when you've got, because 7 days have passed and you have another £300,000 in your bank account just because.
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
I mean,
of course,
I know.
You think they're thinking that they drew 0-0 or even they lost 1-0 off the off shot game that happens, you know, once every 30 games that we lost, like you lost to like a Stoke or a Sunderland, they don't care.
There's
£300,000 in their bank account. That's the problem.
I choose not to. You can call me delusional if you want to, but I do believe that these guys have a drive to win.
I think they
many
care,
of them.
But
there
like,
are
the
guys
the day,
that don't.
They open up their phone. They open up their app. They put their thumb on their little home button screen, and it opens it up, and they're like, oh, yeah, thank God. I still got paid this week.
Hey, Wells Fargo, your account balance,
$9,500,000.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Well, let's move on. We've spent a lot of time talking about nothing.
All right, speaking of nothing, Chelsea 3, Huddersfield Town 1. I mean, Bakayoko scores in this one, Ken. So, is there anything else you want to say about this game?
I mean, I'm sure Tyler has something to say.
I'll let Tyler talk after we do both the Chelsea games. Bakayoko scores, Willian scores.
Honestly, I mean,
they win.
This is the game they should be winning. I mean,
and they did.
Huddersfield didn't score a goal until the 92nd, and that's all, for all intents and purposes, a goal that like Chelsea was just turned off at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? 3-1, 3-0, it's all the same, unless for some reason, you know, City starts losing a lot of games and Chelsea lose the league because of a two-goal differential. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, Chelsea hasn't been scoring that many goals, so this is important for them. They win in the weekend also, 1-0 over Southampton at home. Really ugly win. Very Jose Mourinho-like win. They score on a free kick.
Goal differential, I mean, you're talking about, we're talking about a 27-goal differential.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about City with 40 plus 44 and Chelsea with plus 18. It's not even close. Doesn't even really matter. But Chelsea wins an ugly game against Southampton with a free kick goal. I mean,
yeah.
Is there anything else to say besides the fact that that is Conte's Chelsea? That's how they won the title, with free kick goals. They scored about 20 last year.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would argue that, you know, listening to you talk, where I've known you for several years now, but I've never known you to be such a bleeding heart for Man United than I have since we've started doing this show.
You're welcome.
You would be praising Man United for winning a game 1-0 off of a free kick based on...
Wait a minute.
And you would give some kind of crazy, like, their defensive structure or
Jose
Mourinho.
We just went over the United games, and they won both of them by one goal, and I said they played poorly in both games.
Sometimes people just win games when they shouldn't win
games.
And that's what good teams do.
I've had enough of this. Arsenal 0, West Ham 0.
I don't think.
Tom, I'll let you back in a minute. Arsenal 0, West Ham 0. And it just seems like Arsenal has no heart and no spine. Ken?
Well, I mean, if you're going to go like that hard, I mean, like. I have noticed I won't even entertain you when it comes to like such daggering words as that you've just given Arsenal when I've seen your United just be spineless, heartless
so far
cowards.
Ahead of you at the table
when it doesn't matter though
anymore.
When you have no choice. Like,
are you back
there
still?
Your title, Thomas, is second.
It is
and
not.
I don't need to remind you that second is no different than fourth when it comes to anything in the Premier League. When it comes now to the big dollars that are paid just purely for being in the Premier League. So I don't mean to take the jam out of your donut, Thomas.
City
Jose
took the jam
Jr.
out of my donut. City took the jam out of my donut.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there is no difference between finishing second and fourth. You moron.
I don't
agree.
So
that's what I'm trying to say. You're going to finish second, 13 points behind City.
At least.
And we're going to finish fourth, maybe, 4 points behind you when it's all said and done. Is there a big difference? Of course, fourth to second. But is there a difference monetarily? Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. So you can use whatever word you want to use. Was Arsenal eventless, they had no creativity, they had 23 shots on goal and not one of those went in, and three of those were on target. So yeah, was there an issue when you have 70% of the possession, you don't score a goal against West Ham, a struggling West Ham? Of course there is. But unlike you, I'm an Arsenal fan of a long time, over a decade of time that I've been an Arsenal fan, and I've come to realize that this is just something to expect from Arsenal, where you think that your daggering words can just affect me. They cannot. I know that this is going to happen eventually. The only thing I can say is the positivity-wise for West Ham is that imagine what you could have done if you never played hard.
I knew that was coming.
You
I was going to set you up for
10.
That.
You could be in the top 10 if you kept Hart on the bench, because he has made saves Adrian has made saves that have saved you losses to draws and draws to victories. I've been calling this for weeks and
I know.
Weeks and weeks.
See, Ken, we keep talking about this, but I know that
Arsenal
Moyes,
is Arsenal.
Moyes listens to the podcast, though. Moyes listens. He gets it. He was listening while he didn't have a job.
Yeah,
he knew. He said, you know what? Ken Lee keeps talking about Joe Hart being the worst thing on earth.
Well, Joe
with
Hart
gloves
is the worst
on.
Goalkeeper on the planet, and you're doing England a favor by putting him
worse.
On the bench now. No, I don't think there's anyone worse.
Yeah, I mean, West Ham now in 15th place as they move on 17 points. There's a real dogfight down there between 10th and 20th, Ken.
There's a complete dogfight, and, you know, unfortunately, we'll get back to my Arsenal. I am not surprised that we tied West Ham away to West Ham 0-0.
It is a derby
match. It's going to happen. That it's just going to happen the way that it happens for all Arsenal games. We do not have a manager that goes in at halftime and sparks a need to win a game and change mentality like most other teams have. And I'm talking about most other teams that have all the way down to the bottom of the league that says, we're right there. Let's just go for the throat. We never go for the throat. We're just as happy to completely pass and move, pass and move, pass and move. And if it doesn't go anywhere, it doesn't go anywhere. Hell, at least we looked good doing it.
Yeah, Arsenal
but we drew.
Goes
it
down here to Moyes.
I don't have anything good to say.
Moyes' hard-fighting squad. Then they go into the weekend to play Newcastle at home, where they, you know, the weekend has been very comfortable for Arsenal, which I believe is a huge deal in the Prem to be able to call home and take 90% of your wins there.
Well, what I won't take is any kind of guff from you about a 1-0 victory. Because, yeah, we made it look hard, but it's a win. Who cares?
Ozil scores an absolute beauty in this one with a
volley.
It's a
goal of the season contender, I think.
It is a goal of the season contender. We'll take Wayne Rooney's goal from behind half field out of the equation because, as you said before, Joe Hart was involved in that. But Ozil with an absolute beauty. And really, to me, Ken, the goal, the thing that made this goal so special is that, you know, I haven't played at top levels of soccer. I wouldn't say that I have by any stretch of the imagination. But in all the time that I've ever spent on the field, I've never seen somebody meet a ball so sweetly from a ball that's so high and so difficult to judge, and then to put that kind of volley on it. Wasn't even a side volley, Ken. He hit it so sweetly from the front. He adjusted, and it was just a gorgeous
pretty much
goal.
Over top of the goal, the keeper just, he had nothing to do. And like the commentator said, sometimes when you hit a ball so sweetly, there's just nothing to do except for to watch it go into the net.
Yeah, I mean, you think about all
it's
the
just
long...
It's just going to go in. I mean...
Yeah, I've seen long goals that are hit hard and hit really well. Like Cristiano Ronaldo hit one from about 40 against, I think it was Porto. Those are hit harder and they swerve. Michael Essien had a goal that everybody sees from a great angle where he smashes it with the outside of his foot. But the amount of difficulty required to hit a ball in the air and to have it stay almost level with the spot that you're striking it at... I mean, it just goes to show that Ozil, when he shows up, he is a match winner.
Yeah. I mean, no question. It's just, can he do that more often? And the issue for an Arsenal fan like myself, if he does start proving that he can do that more often than not, then some teams will want to come and get him. I personally think that there will be no team in this world, on this planet, that is willing to offer him the wages that he is demanding to leave.
But remember, there's no transfer fee, so it changes the way that...
It's still, though. Like, are you going to pay him $350,000 a week? That's what he's demanding.
You never know.
I'm sure somebody will.
Yeah, because there's no transfer fee. I mean, that makes a
big
deal.
There will be someone involved that will want to do it, but still, like, it's still a big risk. I mean, for, admittedly, even as an Arsenal fan like myself, who loves Mesut Ozil, he only shows up, I mean, what, 3 or 4 times every 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, and plus he's a goat when it comes to defensive stuff. Like, you see a lot of times when Arsenal draws
he stops
or
running.
Loses.
He doesn't even walk back to the
he's
ball.
A goat on defense. Like, they completely go after him and his defensive work
he's
rate.
He's terrible when it comes
he's
to, like,
purely
when
an offensive
down,
player.
He's miserable. Like,
But Arsenal gets a nice win there, 1-0. I say nice win, Ken, because you won't let me say anything else about it.
Say whatever you want, but you would be lying to yourself because you don't speak truly when it comes to a United loss. I will be the only one to say that to you because your own family won't say that to you. You have a Tottenham fan as a brother, and he won't even admit, he can't be giving you the truth. I'm the only one that gives you the truth when it comes to United losses that. They lose because they suck sometimes.
I appreciate that you keeping me grounded, Ken. United wins twice this week. Arsenal does not. I want to go back to the Chelsea game for a second because I think that those are important results for them. I always talk about grinding through wins. I mean, City makes everything look easy right now, but getting those one goal wins is a big deal. Tyler, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, you darn well better go back to that Chelsea game after you glossed over me. Let's go way back. Let's go back to first game, and we'll talk about their 3-1 win, where they looked fantastic the entire time, and they just kind of glided to that win, which they should, considering the team that they were up against. I'm not going to say that they had some sort of massive challenge against Huddersfield. But then I real quick want to go back one game behind that where they lost to West Ham by 1. And you'll recall how super critical Mr. Lee was against Chelsea for getting – West Ham got an ugly, ugly goal against them, which arguably shouldn't have gone in. They got that goal.
Well, why did it go in though, Tyler?
It was a defensive lapse, and I will admit that. But it was one goal. And that is the breadth that separates their –
Who was the goalie at that point, though?
Three
for West
game.
Ham?
Wait one second. They're three.
No,
goals.
You wait one second.
No.
Who was the goalie then?
Ken, I'm going to mute you in a second. Calm
would,
down.
Would you like to share the name, Ken? Go ahead.
Who was the goalie then?
I'm not.
I
sure.
Want you to say it, so you, don't know. So you just know it.
Go ahead. Give it to me.
Go ahead. Finish
anyway,
the story.
My point is, one ugly goal separated that result from Arsenal's result now, and somehow it's magically, it just happened, whereas it was Chelsea's massively falling apart to a West Ham team.
Anyway. Or it was the fact that when Arsenal played West Ham away to West Ham, they had no shots on target. It was completely shut off. It's just Arsenal's, you know, way of not being able to finish off a game, which is I've already self-admittedly, you know, come to terms
moving
with.
Right along.
You're
to
not
this
willing to admit
game,
it, and neither is Tom. You guys are perfect for each other.
I love fifth place Ken. He just fights everybody.
The 1-0 result this week does not tell the story of how well they actually played. That entire game was played in the defensive half of Southampton. They looked fantastic. Pressure the entire time. Hazard and Conte played off each other. I don't know if you guys were watching Willian putting crosses into the box. Bakayoko had a crazy shot off the
It must network. Have been crazy because he doesn't score.
He scored 2 weeks – or he scored two games ago, and he almost scored this game.
Which game? He did score. He scored in the midweek.
No, 2 games ago. Not the Southampton game in the Huddersfield game.
Yeah.
Two wins in a row, as you said. It means a lot to Chelsea. Means a lot to me. I thought that they were both great games that I watched.
I'm
but
glad
I do,
it means a lot to
you. I do have one other point of contention, Ken, and I need you to stop saying it, that Manchester United's place is second, because it's not. We are one win and them having one loss away from being tied.
Yeah, but it's not like you have a game in hand. You're waiting for United to make a mistake, sort of like United is waiting for City to make 7 mistakes.
But we play United again before the end of the season, so there's a win and a loss that could put us even. And as long as we win more games than them between now and then.
It's completely short. Like, you might have grounds to stand on at that point that you will beat United, because Jose has all but proven that he doesn't care to beat the top 4 or the top 5 even for that matter. So it doesn't matter.
You are saying as if it's a foregone conclusion that 1 and 2 are both teams from Manchester. And
I'm just saying that more likely than not, it is a foregone conclusion, because Conte has already basically, I think, under wraps, signed a contract to go back to Italy, where he rightfully belongs, which is a loser-type league that, you know, you can do nothing and still win the league year after year after year. And he's realizing now that, you know, when the chips are down and he's looking at winning the league at about almost 15 points away, that, you know, it's impossible. And Conte's not a natural born winner. He's a winner when it comes easy. He's not a fighter. And he's proving that.
Ken, doling out the hate today.
He said he'd shave his beard off when they lost. So they lost a while ago, and he still has his beard. So now he's not only a loser, but he's a liar too.
I do think he'll leave. We talked about that before. And
I'm just
Tyler,
hoping when he leaves, he brings Morata with him, because I'm tired of having Morata in my league too.
Morata doesn't score in either one of these games. I don't know if he played in the midweek.
Why? Why doesn't he score in these games?
I don't know, Ken. Why doesn't
he score?
Not
a Premier League striker.
He didn't score in the. He didn't play in the weekend.
Okay. Why didn't he play?
They're rotating. Oh, he did play. He came on. He came on late for. I didn't even notice him.
That's of course you didn't notice him. Doesn't even matter.
Yeah, well, anyway, so Chelsea does get 2 wins, though. Keeps pace with United in the scrap for second, as Tyler and I are trying to build up second place.
Doesn't even matter.
Manchester
City
down by 11.
The team in form in the top 5 is Liverpool. Everyone knows that.
Liverpool looking fantastic as they adjusted. Klopp, thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for adjusting your defensive scheme as we told you to. If you had just done this in the summer, you would probably be in second place.
There is no better team in the top 5 next to City than Liverpool right now.
You say that, but Wednesday, Liverpool tied West Brom.
There isn't.
They tied West Brom, and it was a crap fest in front of the goal.
I mean, every team is going to have a bad game unless you're City. Even your beloved United has a bad game. You donkey. Stop acting as if every team has a bad game except for you, United. Everyone has a bad game. There's no team playing better, I think, in the top 5 when you talk about outside of City than Liverpool.
I'm not a donkey.
And I think that you would be hard pressed to say that. You would just not want to admit it at that point.
I'm not a donkey. I know that.
You might not be a donkey, but you are lying to yourself if you say that Man United's playing better than Liverpool.
They are playing better than Liverpool.
Just because they're in second? Because they had 3 months ago a terrible span of games? Or 2 months ago
a
terrible
span
of games?
No, because they've won 5 of their last 6 games. That's why they're playing better.
You're a moron.
No, that's truth. That's truth, Ken.
Go ahead.
I did. Liverpool has tied two of their last three games and has won less games in the last six than United. United is playing better. Liverpool, draw, win, win, draw, draw, win. United's playing better than Liverpool. And Liverpool is playing very well. They finished the week with a spanking, a beautiful spanking. I don't know. Did you watch the goals in this game, Ken? Liverpool's goals? Yeah. They were gorgeous. That were Coutinho goal where he cut through.
Well, the Coutinho goal, I mean, did like, you see what was Bournemouth doing?
I thought I saw him take his jersey off and there was a Barcelona jersey underneath after the celebration. I think that's what I saw. Gorgeous finish from Coutinho.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that. I mean, like, to think that he's not going to Barcelona in the summer. I mean,
I don't know. They're saying winter, man. They're trying to
in
get
the winter?
Winter. That's what they're saying. They're saying that. I think he's cup tied in the Champions League, so I think that's
be
a good
cup-tied.
Idea.
Like, would it like it would just be Barcelona pulling a move to say that we're bigger than you?
Well, their Dembele move didn't work.
We moved on the summer. We missed in the summer. And well, Dembele now has the same manager as all the high profile players, so he's gone from Tottenham, no question.
No. I'm talking about the Dembele that went to Barcelona.
Oh, I thought about Dembele.
I know we can't. You weren't even thinking of the Dembele that went to the Barcelona team.
No, I wasn't even thinking.
And he was like an 80 million pound transfer. That's how bad that transfer was. I think he could end up being all right at some point, but that was such a desperate move. It reeked of the Fellaini move United made a few years ago. It was so desperate. Anyway, in this Liverpool match, beautiful game by Liverpool. Honestly, Ken, one of the best offensive performances I've seen all year. I mean, City puts plenty up. Salah, man, that goal is another one of those in-form goals. You know what I mean? Like, couple little people try to swing at him. He gets knocked off balance, and he just takes a little touch inside.
I mean, honestly,
and then scores.
If Liverpool
Coutinho
were smart,
and Salah, beautiful goals.
They would sign him to a contract extension immediately, even though he just signed him.
Yeah,
like less than
him.
3 or 4 months ago. They would be smart to sign him to an extension.
I think they will at the end of the season. You don't do it in January
like,
when he's
got
on a 4 or 5 year deal.
Getting that guy like locked into as close to a lifetime deal as possible.
Well, he fits the Klopp style so well. Yeah. And basically what they've done, Ken, is exactly what we told them to do.
That goal he scored where he cut in from the goal line back and scored, that's like a goal that you only see done in FIFA. Like, you don't see that done in real life.
Yeah, I mean, beating everybody on the defense in the box in a tight space and then finishing
it.
Yeah, he's phenomenal, especially right now. I mean, to have a guy, he's probably the only striker in the league, I believe, that's on pace for 30 goals. I think he's the only one. He's close. The rest of them trailing in the wake, your Coutinho, or not your Coutinho's, your Manchester City strikers are up there, but none of them are really blowing the doors off it single-handedly like Salah is. Of course, Lukaku's up there.
So
Morata's up there, but they're not going to finish with 30 goals. They're too inconsistent. Mm-mm. Whereas Salah is a threat every single game to score. And basically, Ken, the thing that's most impressive is he scores a lot of times out of nothing, which makes him a match winner and a really important player in Liverpool if they can just shore up their consistency.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, if they've been like, and it's all ifs, like, if you know, United could win every single week, if Arsenal could shore up the defense and you know score one goal every game, they would win more games. But it's just a matter of time. Like, Liverpool actually does have what it takes to be right now challenging for a title. It's just inconsistencies in the back that don't allow them to do so. Which is, you know, it's neither here nor there. It doesn't even warrant a conversation because we've beaten it into the ground and back. But it's just one of those things where, like, that team, like, when they're playing the way they've been playing recently, minus the midweek play, they're the most exciting team to watch next to City. Because City, it's just, you're watching them to see how many goals they score. Because it's just exciting to watch teams score goals.
Yeah.
But after that, it's Liverpool. You would not miss watching a Liverpool game right now if you're a fan of soccer.
Yeah, beautiful game by them. They get a nice win here, and they move into the week. There's a bunch of big Carabao Cup games this week. We'll get into them at the end here. But Liverpool sits in fourth place, really starting to find their form. But unfortunately, they already have 7 draws, which is a ton of draws.
Yeah, it's too many.
It's going to keep them out of the second place race, I believe. But they're shooting for fourth, Ken. And they have a chance to make a run in the Champions League, too.
I think fourth might be, like, if they can finish fourth, it wouldn't even be that bad because...
No, it really wouldn't.
They would finish fourth 2 years in a row, but now dealing with Champions League as well. So it would arguably be still a success.
It would be a success. Absolutely would be a success for them, especially with the intensity of the league. But, you know, I like to do the top six in order, Ken, you know, with these with double match days and stuff like that, with double match weeks, I mean... basically what we do is go 1 through 6, but Ken, 6 is not Tottenham. 6 is Burnley. So, yeah. We'll...
I don't think Burnley will finish there, though.
No.
If I'm being honest, I think it will be Tottenham. Somewhere between Tottenham, Arsenal, Liverpool finishing 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Yeah. Tottenham, though, wins 2-0 on Wednesday. An important win for them as they, they're really struggling. Sun's on form. Aurier scores an accidental cross. I don't know if you saw that one, Ken. He just basically crossed it.
I saw the highlights. But
it dropped into the back corner. They'll take it, though. And then, of course, we already discussed it, but they got smashed over the weekend by City. Can't really fault anybody for getting smashed by City except for the red card tackles that flew in.
Just
which
the,
we already
I mean,
discussed.
They're honestly lucky to still have Kane and Dele Alli.
Yeah, can you imagine if both of them had been suspended for 3 games?
Which they should have been.
Yeah, I think they absolutely should have been.
And if you could, yeah. To your point, can you imagine a Tottenham right now without a Kane and a Dele Alli? They might go the next 3 games getting smashed.
Yeah, I mean,
and that would put them completely. Then you might be looking at, you know, talking about a Bournemouth finishing above them. But you know, hey, that's just the way the game goes. Like they got lucky and they both got yellow cards and. Because they got yellow cards, there'll be no retroactive action against them.
Yep, that's right. If they hadn't gotten yellow cards, they could get red carded or suspended by the FA if they. But because action was taken during the game, the referees actually shielded them from getting suspended.
Yep.
They don't have to play in the midweek, the League Cup, which is only. It's all the big teams, basically, except for Tottenham and Liverpool. It's United, Chelsea, City, and Arsenal all playing separate games, not against each other in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and then
but Tottenham actually gets a break here, Ken. They get a week
They're getting a break.
That's huge.
But I would say Arsenal is the worst for the wear because
they're drawing,
Arsenal has a game
on
Friday.
And a huge game on Friday. We'll get, you know, Ken, we can
Liverpool
get right into that.
Friday.
Liverpool versus Arsenal on Friday, but they play on Tuesday, Arsenal versus West Ham. And Ken, I mean, what's your lineup like in this game? Because that Liverpool game is really important.
I would hope at this point, with the race for fourth being so tight, that we play 11 rotational players and we rest up for Liverpool at home.
Yeah, you are at home in the midweek in the League Cup.
And we need to
clash.
Make up for that 4-0 smashing that Liverpool put on us in the beginning of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to do exactly what you said. You have to play rotational in that match. I just don't think you can afford to not be rested or have players get hurt against Liverpool on
no,
Friday.
No, you have to rest everyone, save everyone. And I mean everyone by Lacazette, Sanchez, Ozil, and the defensive unit for Friday's game home to Liverpool.
Yeah,
we got enough midfield. You can play the midfield if you want. We got a lot of depth up midfield. But when it comes to defense and attackers, you got to bench all those guys almost. Play Maitland-Niles. Maitland-Niles is so good.
Yeah, I think that's the squad you're going to see. And I mean, if I'm an Arsenal fan, get knocked out of the League Cup, I just say whatever. We're shooting for fourth. We have to play against Liverpool. We're in the winter schedule right now, where we have 3 games a week, and this has to be a break day for them. I mean. Call that a loser mentality, Ken, but that's the way to do it.
It's not loser mentality, I don't think, but...
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the EFL Cup games, Leicester City plays at home against Manchester City. Then they play Manchester United on the weekend, so I'm interested to see what lineup they put out against City and what lineup City puts out. Because City's second lineup has shown that they can have some cracks in it and they can draw and lose... as they lost in the Champions League. But, I mean, of course you get the favor City there. Chelsea versus Bournemouth, and Bournemouth is another match that we'll see. it's Chelsea at home. You'd have to expect that they would beat Bournemouth, but you could see an upset there. And then the easiest draw, as usual, Ken, with Manchester United draws. Manchester United draws Bristol City at Bristol City, and you can expect McTominay to play in that one. Mkhitaryan might come out of the cold on that one, Ken. Maybe Zlatan time.
Yeah, who cares? Put him in. Put him in. Yeah, put him in. I think that you should give Lukaku a break.
But either way, Ken, it sets up for a really good semifinal, or it should. With all these big teams being involved, you should get in the next round. Maybe Manchester United, Man City would be awesome. Arsenal, Chelsea, like that would be a really fun draw. Arsenal, Chelsea, and Manchester United, Manchester City, or those teams playing in the final. All those options are good, and you can never rule out in these cup matches one of these other teams snatching a win.
Well, you want City against almost anyone in the top four because you want to see how arrogant Pep is going to be. By the lineup he puts out, and that's just the truth. Like if, especially if it is a City versus United, you would know immediately if United is still in second place.
So much fun!
You would know immediately how arrogant Pep is going to be based on the squad that he puts out.
Yeah, it, and, it I could mean, be really.
He basically, what he beat? Like the last time he played, he smashed some team without even like his top striking.
Well, he beat United without Aguero.
He beat United without Aguero. Yeah, I mean, that's just... It's just ridiculous, the stuff that's happening. And that is why, like, I cannot say it enough. One, that I... Like, there is no one on this planet that hates City more than me. Maybe you. Maybe you do. I hate City. I can't stand them. I hate that color blue they wear. I can't stand Pep Guardiola. I can't stand any player that plays for them. But they are the best. We're running over time, though. We are. Get into the next. Let's just tee it up for next week. And let's
next week's matches. We already talked about Liverpool versus Arsenal. That'll be a great game on Friday. We should have good matches all through the week. The Christmas weekend.
Merry Christmas. Premier League is alive and well.
Arsenal, Liverpool. Arsenal hates when that yellow ball comes out, so we'll see what happens there. Manchester United, Leicester, Chelsea, Everton. At Everton, Ken, Everton has won four of their last five matches. This might not be an easy match for Chelsea.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, especially at home. I would imagine Everton will play a very, very defensive game and kind of almost say, you know, come and get us. If you can score, great. But Everton, they're under a completely new leadership. And now, more important than new leadership, they have leadership. It could have been anyone's leadership. It could have been a dog's leadership. And it's still leadership, where before they had nothing. And now they have a very sound plan of attack.
Sure.
And Sam's got these guys in, they got these guys in check. They're ready to go. I mean, they're in ninth place now. And
already in ninth.
They're in the top 10, and they had...
They took off for 2 months.
They had the most talked about demise of any team in the league, and they're absolutely in the top 10. They're not doing bad, and I think Chelsea, maybe Tyler has something more to say about this. We don't have a lot, we've gone way too long, but it's not going to be simple for Chelsea. And maybe Chelsea will come out and win 3-0 because of the outlier game that is, but we'll never know.
Yeah, Burnley plays Tottenham. We won't talk too much about that other than to say that that's a huge match, Ken. Burnley's in sixth. Tottenham is in seventh. It is at Burnley. Tottenham, you need to show up. You have a week off. Get to it. After that, Ken, we start what's called the Boxing Day matches. Those are December 26th. And you have United, Burnley, Tottenham, Southampton. That's all midweek stuff. Chelsea, Brighton, Liverpool, Swansea City. You got a lot of big matches there coming up.
A lot of
games
on the 26th. It's good.
That are coming through. Still, I don't know who's going to beat City because they play Newcastle. Then immediately, Ken, you have Thursday matches and then Saturday matches and then the FA Cup. So we've got a bunch of matches coming up. We can't cover them all in depth at the risk of going way over and putting Ken to sleep. As he's probably been up since 4 o'clock with his babies, so we won't do that.
Five. But yeah, five it's well over an hour. Let's just lock in. There's a ton of matches coming up. On our website. Let's wrap it up.
We're wrapping it up. Ken, I need one more thing before we wrap it up. I need a prediction between Arsenal and Liverpool.
I think Arsenal rights the wrong. I mean, Liverpool, like I said, is the informed club. I have to hope that Arsenal shows up at home and shows some type of spine to, at the very least, show defensive organization to be able to allow Sanchez, Ozil, and Lacazette to be able to do what they do. And it's going to come down to defenses in both sides. If Liverpool's defense shows up like they've been showing up lately, it's going to be a wrap. We need Arsenal's defense to show up soundly. We need it to be shored up to, again, allow to play from the back into the attackers and win this game.
I completely agree, Ken. We will try to come back to you as soon as we can. We have the holidays coming up. It might be a Tuesday edition, Ken, as Christmas falls on a Monday, and I doubt anybody's wives will let them do a show on Christmas Eve. So it might have to be wait until Tuesday, but we hope everybody has awesome holidays.
Enjoy the games in the meantime.
Everywhere that you are, an awesome holiday and an awesome week. For Ken Lee and Tyler Alfeld, I'm Tom Miller saying goodbye, everybody. Enjoy yourselves.